Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for inviting me to say something to you. This is an extremely holy place here. The place is named Braja Brakan. Like a place, the garden of Vrindavan. And it was established by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada. So it's very important in the Gaudiya line, especially in as the founder of Sri Chaitanya Gaudiya Math, which said the pure teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and which our Srila Prabhupada expanded on and took all over the world. But very historically, it is a very, very powerful place that we are in right now. As you know, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada was the son, one of the sons of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. And from his very life, he wasn't interested in materialistic affairs. Although he was educated, but he was very learned actually. And he was also a great astrologer. In fact, he discovered a star, which is known as the Siddhanta star, after him, that previously wasn't detected before. But when he met his spiritual master, Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, actually, he said, I've met many, many aristocratic people in my life. Because that was the time of the British Raj also, so he was, his father was a magistrate, so he was in with the British Raj. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he also met a lot of the British Raj, so-called aristocratic society, as well as the intellectual Bengali society. But he said, I never, even all those people I met, I never really saw any good quality that I could actually really accept and take. He said, but when I met my spiritual master, Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, when I saw his unearthly character, he said, from that moment on, I knew that everybody else I'd met was simply a waste of time. Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj appeared. Shortly after the discovery of the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj also came to Mayapur. And Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj appeared like an ascetic, wearing only a loincloth, a few possessions in his deerskin cap, some japa mala made of knotted pieces of rope, which his Guru Maharaj had given to him. And upon seeing Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj and his character, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur immediately had a great affection for him. And Gaurakishore also, when he saw Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he immediately gave him some paraphernalia which he had received from his Guru Maharaj. So we understood that this person is my spiritual master. And also his father, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he pointed out that yes, this person is your guru, and take initiation from him. And he said, and don't come back until you get initiation. So he approached the lotus feet of Gopishodas Babaji Maharaj and requested him for initiation. And Srila Gopishodas Babaji Maharaj said that you are a very learned person and I'm illiterate. How can I give someone like you initiation? So he was begging. And Babaji Maharaj said, okay, I will ask my Prabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If he gives the order, then I can give. So the next day, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta was very enthusiastic to hear the reply from his Guru Maharaj. So he went to see him and he said, what did he say? And Gopishodas Babaji Maharaj said, I forgot to ask him. So again he was coming back. And he was asking again and he said, Prabhu did not give me the order. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, this is Ramanujacharya. He approached his Guru Maharaj 19 times, something like that. He said, similarly, I will not let you trick me and let me go. He said, you're saying that I'm an educated person. He says, and it's quite right that you and your master, you and your Lord Chaitanya, you are worshipping that debauchee. That person, Andana, he is known as a debauchee. Everybody knows his activities. And you worship him. He is your Ishtadeva. He is your Lord and Master. And but me, I'm actually well known as a strict moralist. I'm a Naistiki Brahmachari from birth. Brahmachari from birth. And I'm going to be very strict, very learned, very strict on my principles and morals. So why should you, who worship that debauchee Krishna, have mercy on me? Well, I'm so strict a moralist. I don't fit into your camp. But his heart was very, very heavy. He wanted so much to take, and he knew that Gopishodas Babaji Maharaj was avoiding him. Then he stood up with tears in his eyes, and he was crying. Corona no hoyli, kandiya kandiya, na pranara ki bovara. That if you are not merciful to me, I cannot maintain my life. I will immediately take my life. And he just fell down weeping. Gopishodas Babaji was so moved by his sincerity. He said, take your part in Jalangi. Immediately come here and give. This was in Godram Deep. You were there a few days ago. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house. So then he was initiated and he received the name Sibhasha Banavi Devi Devaitya. Although his Guru Maharaj was Babaji and completely renounced, it's interesting how Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur started his mission. And he started it in Calcutta, which Gopishodas Babaji Maharaj said, that is Kali's reign, never go to Calcutta. We see actually when he, but also his Guru Maharaj told him that you have to preach extensively. So when he actually started his mission, he chose Calcutta, he said, because that's where the people are, I have to go to the people. So anyway, they were living here. At that time, the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was being constructed. And then Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur began to reside here, at this place, Chandrasekhar Bhavan. And it was here he took a very, very serious vow to chant 1 billion names of Krishna, to complete that within 10 years. This is the equivalent of Haridas Thakur, 3 lakh names every day. And he performed this vow. He had a, just on the other side of this building was a, he just had a little shed. There's a tin roof, and there he would just simply do his bhajans. In fact, there was a hole in the roof, and the rain would come in the rainy season. But instead of taking time to repair the roof, he would just put an umbrella up inside his room. And he was living here like an ascetic. Almost like another dude, actually. Just absorbed in the Gauranga and the Panchatattva. In fact, one person could. He went to see Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And he said that the condition of the Vaishnava now is very, very bad. There's no real pure Vaishnavas preaching. And there are so many upper sampradayas rampant now. There's all these smarter brahmanas. There's all the different new philosophies. Brahmanism, there's a new philosophy that sprang up amongst the intellectuals in Bengal. We need someone strong to go and preach against all this. And actually, you're the only person who can do it. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, well, I'm getting old now. She said, but my son, he can do. He has the potency to do. Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually was praying at the Gavadham Sanskar ceremony that I want a ray of Vishnu. I want some empowerment of Vishnu to have a son simply to propagate this message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he knew that actually Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was that personality. He realized that Krishna fulfilled his desire. And he was a very divine, empowered personality. As Srila Prabhupada often used to say that, what can I say about my Guru Maharaj? He was Vaikuntha man. So he was the able person, and actually Bhaktivinoda Thakur before that, when there was a great meeting, to establish the difference between Vaishnavism and Brahmanism. There was a, maybe you've read that book, it's a very beautiful story. How ultimately there was going to be a big meeting of all the Vaishnavas and all the Brahmanas to determine the actual situation of both. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was to speak there. But on the plea of being some disease, he he declined to go. It was actually, some people say that it was kind of an embarrassing situation because his Shiksa Guru was there. It was also coming in a line, and it wouldn't be good so good to speak so strongly in front of his Guru Maharaj. He was coming from a caste Goswami line, so it wouldn't have been proper etiquette for him. So on the plea of being sick, he couldn't go, but he was lamenting. He said, there must be someone who can face these people and defeat them. There must be someone. He was so concerned. Bhaktisiddhanta saw his concern. So then he wrote some notes and he showed them to his father and he said, perhaps I could go and represent you. Here are some notes I've made. And he read the points he had, all the notes he had made. Bhaktisiddhanta nota goes, Saraswati, truly, truly Saraswati. Truly Saraswati. Yes, you are blessed, you are certainly blessed. You please take this, you will go on and meet all these brahmanas. So he went, and actually he completely defeated all the brahmanas and the kasta swamis and established the position of Vaishnavism. And so Bhaktivinoda Thakur knew and he had complete faith in him. So anyway, this person, he went to see Bhaktivinoda, and he told him, you better go and see my son, he's in Mayapur. So he came, and he was asking local people, you know this, Bilamala Prasad, son of Kedarnath Das. Oh yes, you know that Kedarnath. Very tall for the figure, yes. You should go beside. I showed him, no, he will come soon, he'll be here soon. So he's ready. Then he sees one figure coming off the bank of the Ganga. Goranga, 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 chanting, dancing. Man, hey, you are the son of Bilamala Prasad? Kedarnath Das? He said, yes. He said, I've just spoken to your father. And then he explained everything, that you should start this mission. Your father said you can do it. So the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, no, he said, you want the pure teachings of Gauranga? Just come here. You want people to come purified? Send everyone to Mayapur. Just send everyone here. You don't have to go anywhere. Just send everyone to Mayapur. This is the best solution. No need to go outside. And he said, no, but we have to start something. No, he said, there's no point. It's just that everybody comes to Mayapur and everyone will get whatever they're searching for. He said, because here, everything is here. This is the holy town. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is still here. Panchatattva is still here. Everyone is still here. He said, don't you see? Don't you see? Hey, Goranga! Nitai! That's right! Hey! He's running up the Ganga. Nitai! See, the Panchatattva is chasing after them. This was his state of existence while he was staying here. Simply absorbed in Vajra. So much so, his Gokishore Das Babaji Maharaj came one night, very early in the morning, 2 or 3 o'clock. And he said, what are you doing here? And he started smiling. And he said, and how can you come? There's no roads. And who's going to bring you across the river? There's no boats at this time. And how did you get through the jungle? Because you can... You hardly look opening your eyes then. He said, someone just told me to come and see my Prabhu. See his austerities. He didn't. They just told me to come and see him. The Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, he understood that. It must have been Krishna himself who brought him here. Otherwise, no one could bring him here at that time of night. when he was establishing his mat here, you've seen these beautiful deities. Sri Sri Radha Gandhava Giridhari. Now he wanted the deities to establish here, so they went to Jaipur, because that's where they make these nice marble deities. And they were looking, they went to one Shilpi, his workshop, he said, please come in. He said, this is your deity here in the corner. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, how do you know I wanted a deity? And how do you know that's my deity? He said, no, last night, this deity appeared to me in a dream. He said, tomorrow, one Mahapurusha will come here. And I want to accept his worship. He please point him out to me. So he said, you please take this deity as a donation from me. And he was satisfied. He said, Radha Gandhava Giridhari ki. So he's known amongst his disciples as his most favorite deity. All of his disciples would say that this is his most favorite deity. Once he bought Sir John Anderson, the British Raj of Calcutta here. So, as an expert preacher, he wanted to make full use of this opportunity. So he got all the local people and he said, you know what's happening? The British Raj is coming to Mayapur. This is just a desolate place. It's just rice fields and banana orchards, and there's no roads, there's no electricity, there's no services here. The British Raj is coming to this little village of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You've got to do something good, but you've got to build a road, at least for him. So let's build a road down to the Ghat, so he'll come across the boat and he can come on a nice road. Let's build the Ghat. So this road that goes right down to the Ganga, it's called Bhaktisiddhanta Marg. So he got that. Everybody was sent. Everybody just got out and they made a big road. You know how long it took them to make this road? One day. So then he had a nice road. So people come to Mayapur and it's easier, more easily. The expertise of devotees. It's like Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Because there was always that battle going on. Is Mayapur that other side of the river or this side? And Bhaktivinoda Thakur with his influence. Yeah. So we'll establish a post office. So they call it Mayapur Post Office. There's no post office that side. Yeah. About this road, Srila Prabhupada commented one time in 1971, there was a flood, and there was a couple of devotees living in the hut at that time, and Sutananda Maharaj, who was staying there, he wrote to Prabhupada and he said the Ganga was swelling up. He said it would have come over and taken away all of our property and swept away. He said, but Bhaktisiddhanta's road was there built up. He said, it saved our property. That embankment has saved our property. His road. Srila Prabhupada wrote back and he said, the path of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is saving millions and millions of people. Another interesting thing on this road. He left here one night middle of the night, about 12 o'clock. And one of his disciples, whose name is maybe Bhagavad Maharaj. He lives down at Hulagat. He's got a mark there. That time he was just a brahmacha. But he saw his Guru Maharaj going out in the middle of the night, so he's following behind. His Guru Maharaj detected someone is there. Who is there? It's your disciple. I can't remember his name at that time. Anyway, he told his name, his brahmachari. Okay, come on, follow me. So he continued walking down the road, past ISKCON. You know, there's a big banyan tree over the road. And just past, go past the kitchen and everything. Big banyan tree there. They got there, the Kirtan party was coming the other side up the road. The dhammas and kathas. Getting louder and louder and closer and closer. You could see them. Divine Sankirtan party. Dancing, chanting. Hare Krishna. Okay. So they came. As they came closer, Bhakti Siddhanta is embracing these devotees. They're embracing, so they're rolling on the ground. Huge kirtan. Then they're going. Continue. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakura said to his disciple, these devotees, they just come down from Swadadweep. Come for darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Jatajogti. They just come down from Swadadweep to see some Harinam and have a sankit and have a quick run through the Jogti. Another instance on that road, that one of his disciples, Srila Damodara Maharaj, he used to live right where the BBT building is, his house was there, then he gave to his son. He's now living in Puri, Jagannath Puri. And he said he was walking on this road with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura, he stopped. And he looked up and he said, how degraded this age of Kali Yuga is becoming. So degraded. Even on Chandra Loka, they are becoming so degraded. His disciple said, then I could understand the meaning of Jagat Guru. And in fact, many of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura's disciples said he indicated that when he left here, he was going to Chandraloka to preach. And also, Prabhupada said one time on, I think it was the appearance, say, of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he was giving a lecture here in Mayapur. And he was talking about Nitya Siddha. And he was giving an example of the sun. How the sun rises at 6 o'clock in the morning. Then at noontime it's overhead, and 6 o'clock it's... But for someone on earth, you see it, when the sun is overhead at noon, for somewhere else, somewhere in the world, it's 6 o'clock. And for somewhere else, it's 6 o'clock in the evening. So he said, like this. He said, this is called Nitya City. He said, this is a material example. So like this, these personalities, they're eternally moving around. He says, so my Guru Maharaj, he is like this. He says he came here with a mission. And when it was time, he went to another place to do exactly the same thing. He said, this is called Nityalila. So this was the personality who established this place. And we had some people working in, when we were first here in 1972, In fact, the people we got the land from, they were some Muslim. Abdul Shek and Chakur or something. Anyway, they were telling that because they were from the village of Mayapur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur just established the Jogpit. And they said, we remember him. When we were small kids, we could remember him. Because we would be there playing. Just playing in the dust with the other kids. The village scene was going on. And the Matajis would be there washing cloth at the pukur. All the children looking after the goats. It's just the village things happening. And then all the people would stop. And everyone would stop. And everything would become still. And then the kids, we would also stop. And the whole atmosphere was still. And everybody would turn their heads. And Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati would come out of his house, he would just be standing there. And they said he emanated such a presence that everybody would stop what they were doing. Automatically they would turn their heads. And he would just walk out through the village and he would rub our heads. Sometimes give us some sweet or something. He said, this was his personality. At the end of his vrata, he was in the actual Jogpit at that time. One night, and then the whole place became illuminated. Then the Panchatattva actually appeared there. In the temple, in the courtyard, along with all their devotees. They were surrounded by all their devotees. And Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj was there. This was after the demise of all these people. Gokshadas Babaji Maharaj, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they were all there. Six Goswamis were there. And they said, give up your austerities. Now it is time for you to go and preach. If they said you don't have to worry about any financial problem. You have unlimited wealth backing you. You don't have to worry about manpower. He said, we'll arrange. You don't worry about anything. We are behind you. The whole parampara is behind you. You just go out and preach fearlessly, boldly, the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So then he began his actual mission. And he said, if I have to preach, then we should go to the cities where the people are. Then he took sannyas from the picture of his Guru Maharaj. And then he began his mission in Calcutta, started in Calcutta. So all these sacred places here that he has established, Shyamakund, Radhakund, Govardhan. I once asked one of his disciples, how come you have a Radhakund here and Govardhan? because according to the Navadita Mahatmya, then Govardhan is in Goladeep and Radhakund is in Ritudeep. So how come there you have them here also? He said, yes, my Guru Maharaj, he was doing his bhajan. And it's that place where the pure devotee is, that place is no different than Vrindavan. So because he was sitting here doing his bhajan, these places manifest where his devotees were sitting. He said it's eternal place, he has an eternal form in Vrindavan as a maid servant of Srimati Radharani. But apparently he revealed himself to his disciples. And he has eternal place of bhajan at Radhakund. So when he was doing his bhajan here, then that same place, his bhajan done, that also came here. He said, therefore, and they pointed us out. We actually dug them, we actually construct, but he actually showed us where they were. And all of his teachings you have probably heard and read some of his teachings, if you can understand his English, of course. He uses such words, very difficult to even for English people to understand. In fact, the English don't even use these words anymore. And I ask him, why do you use these words? Nobody uses them. He said, this is the word that it conveys exactly what I want to say. It's the only word I can use. It is much closer than any other thing to convey what I want to say, so therefore I'm using all these words. And there's another really interesting thing. I hope I don't get shot yet. But Prabhupada is leaving the Calcutta temple one day. They were going to the Bhagavad Gita. They have a Gaudiya Math, and they have a very big library there and everything. So, his one disciple, Rabbatinandan Swami, he asked, we're going to this place. He said, he's going to meet God Brother or something. Is it okay if we take some books from the library there? Like Jayavadama or Brahma Samhita. And Srila Prabhupada said that you can read his books. He said, actually, he said the books he wrote, he wrote for me. Nobody could understand his books, actually. Even his disciples couldn't. But actually, he wrote those books for me. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yes, I mean, you read Brahma Samhita, the first page, you have to have a dictionary with you. Such a scholar. So profound, his teachings. So deep. There's a an incident that happened when he was here at the disappearance of Srila Gokishodas Babaji Maharaj, who at that time was in Navadvip side. Dharmashala, the area of Dharmashala, most of the devotees were staying there at that time. Most other places were undeveloped. So generally most of the Vaishnavas were staying in Navadvip side. So then he left his body at that place. So news was brought to Srinivasisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So immediately he left. It's described he was wearing a green chadar at that time. Somebody told me one time that green indicates the color of separation. Somehow or another it's connected with the mood of separation. But anyway, the description was he had a green chadar and he went. And when he got to that site, there was a debate going on about actually who would claim the body, the holy body of Gokishodas Babaji Maharaj. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur understood that a lot of these people wanted to claim that body and put in samadhi. Simply, so people will come and throw some paisa and use it as a means for maintaining themselves. So the argument was going on. In fact, the chief of police had to turn up, and Mr. Gupta. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that I am the disciple of Srila Gokishodas Babaji Maharaj and therefore I am claiming the body to put into samadhi. So they objected that Gokishodas Babaji Maharaj is this Babaji and you are not even in a renowned sort of life. At that time he was still acting as a brahmacharya. You're neither Babaji nor you're a sannyas. So only a person actually in a renounced sort of life can touch that body and make the samadhi. So therefore it should be one of us Babajis. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said in a voice as grave as thunder, he said, I may not be a Babaji or a sannyas. He said, but I can honestly say, from my very birth, I've never done all this monkey business like so many other people are doing. So I say to you with all my power, I make this statement now, that if there are any here amongst you who have had no relationship with a woman in the last 6 months, you can come and you can put Gokishodas Babaji into samadhi. Complete silence fell on the audience. The policeman said, well, how will you know if they're telling the truth? He said, I will accept if anybody comes. I am saying this with all my power. Anybody within 3 months, nobody came forward. Within 1 month, within 1 week, if anybody has not any relations in the last 3 days, they can come and put this body in the mind. Everybody was... Everybody turned their back. The policeman was astonished. Bhaktisiddhanta said to the disciples, We will take his holy body and we will put him in samadhi. Then they made the samadhi. Many years later, the Ganga was eating the banks, as the Ganga performs his pastime according to the will of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. She moves like a snake. At that time, she was eating the bank very close to the samadhi, and it was getting very, very close. In fact, it started to collapse. So the disciples informed that Srinivasa Siddhanta Saraswati that we should go there before someone else takes it. Take its eminence. So he went there and they managed to save the remnants of Gokusha Samadhi and bring them here. And here they made a very beautiful samadhi there. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that my Guru Maharaj, he didn't want to stay there anymore. He said there were offenses being made in that area. He didn't like to stay there anymore. So by divine arrangement, he has relocated himself. And now he is here by the banks of Radhakund. It was his desire actually to change location. These are the people we are dealing with, who lived here, who walked on this path, who are our predecessors, who are still there, giving that mercy. These are the people we have behind us. But they told Bhakti Siddhanta all the way back to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we're all behind you. We're all behind you. When Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was living here, there was another very renounced person, so-called renounced person. He came, went to Gokushada Prabhuji Maharaj. He said, I've just been to Mayapur. Gokushada Prabhuji said, oh, how is my disciple doing? He says, what are you doing there? Very ritualistic. The service he is performing there. I'm much more into spontaneous devotion service. But actually he's following a lot of rules and regulations there. He seems very strict. I don't really want to go there. So. Maharaj, you give me shelter here, but you're lotus feet. Because I see you have spontaneous attraction for Krishna. You don't observe the general rules and regulations like Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. Therefore, I'm more inclined to you. I take shelter. Gokushada Prabhuji Maharaj says, you are a resident of hell. He said that Bhakti Siddhanta, he is performing pure devotional service in Antadvip, and you went to that sacred spot, Antadvip, and you criticize Krishna's Jyotitana, pure devotee. Your consciousness is already in hell. You do not understand. It's a fact. What you say about him, he is performing worship in the mood of Vaikuntha. It's a fact. But simultaneously, he's also serving in a pure spontaneous way. He says, similarly, I'm sitting here in Navadvip, and simultaneously, I'm also there, doing my bhajan in Antadvip. But you will never, never, never understand these things because of your wicked mentality. Will you please leave me forever? Don't pollute my place again. After some time, that so-called renounced person fell down, started associating with me, the former kind of obnoxious activities, because of his offense to the pure devotees. So there are extraordinary personalities who come, mingle with us, show example. Give us the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Very condensed form. How to associate with devotees. How not to associate with devotees. In one of his teachings, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's teachings, he brings out this point. How not to associate with devotees. That the propensity in this material world is to be the controller and to be the enjoyer. Because that's Krishna's position. And we're here because we want to imitate that position. So he said an association of devotees, because often we only mix with devotees, we only see devotees. So with these propensities are coming out, we have to understand who we're when we're dealing with devotees. We shouldn't try to control devotees or enjoy devotees. He said that this is the greatest crime that a person can commit if he tries to control devotees or enjoy devotees. Because what is he doing? Not only is it complete opposite of what we came for, to be Krishna's servant, or the servant of the servant of Krishna. But we're taking Krishna's position as a controller and enjoyer. But what's the worst thing is that we're trying to influence devotees. We're trying to control devotees or enjoy devotees. And he said, this is the greatest crime, because devotees, they can control God. So instead of imitating God, we want to be the controllers or the controller of God. So we have to be very careful. We make a nice society, but now all we've got to deal with is devotees. These propensities are coming out. We have to be very careful. And he said, there are two things happening in this world. There's attraction and repulsion. We're attracted by something and we're repulsed by something. Or I like something or I don't like something. That's all that's happening in the material world. I like something or I don't like something. And he said that everybody, anybody who claims to be a human being It is, what word does he use? Oh, yes, he said, every person who claims a human being, it is compulsory. It's compulsory for him to make this decision about the, like, which attracts and which repels. We're dealing in this world of attraction and repulsion. And now we have to, he said, it's compulsory. If you're a human, you make a decision not to be not to be moved or influenced by attraction, and not to be influenced by the aversions of this material world. What I like and what I don't like. It's compulsory. You have to make that decision. And that decision is happening at every moment practically. And then he points out that the root of all this is actually humility. When one understands his complete helplessness in this material, his insignificance, his utter worthlessness, when he can understand factually his worthlessness, he said at that time, then he can appreciate the lotus feet of a devotee. If he's still thinking that by myself, by my endeavors, I can achieve, you will never appreciate the lotus feet of a devotee. But when you realize your absolute helplessness in this world, then you can realize the beauty of a devotee, the munificence of a devotee. And then you can actually accept their gifts. You can receive their mercy. So many deep teachings here about this, I don't know if you saw this. That we apply in our life. He was called sometimes the cutting guru. He was very, very strict. But those instructions, seem very, very strong sometimes, but it is actually necessary. In his words, you have to do it. It's compulsory. There's no question of not doing what we're supposed to do as eternal servants of Krishna. And the more sincere we become, the more sincere, the process becomes quicker. In fact, it becomes immediate. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said immediately. Immediately. Upon realizing your insignificance. Immediately you are eligible for mercy from the devotee. So he gives such powerful instructions for all of us to follow for devotees. He wants to cut away anything else with any other idea we may have. He just gives you the real nitty gritty. This is what you need. Thus, and he just cuts everything else. He is known as the cutting guru, the shimmer, the chopping technique. But it's very efficient, very effective if we're serious. We see the effectiveness. It's for our benefit. And sometimes opposing enemies. One time he was walking in the street and his disciples said, look, he comes at Big Mayavadi. He's doing a lot of preaching, he's getting popular. He was walking the opposite direction with his disciples in the street. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur looked at him and he walked right up to him in front of him and he slapped him on the front. And he said, why are you teaching this atheistic philosophy? Why are you turning people away from Krishna? And he couldn't say anything. He could only put his head down. He was the Shima Guru. Fearless. Because he knew what was right and what was wrong. That's all. And he just conducted his life like that. And he wanted us to do the same. Nothing else. So it's said that the grandfather is more kind than the father sometimes. It's very affectionate to the grandchildren. Even more affectionate to the great-great-grandchildren. So here we can offer obeisance to our great-great-great-very-very-very-great exalted grandfather, grand-grandfather. And pray for his mercy that we can lead our Krishna conscious lives as he has shown us, as strictly as he has shown us. After all, we came here to be Krishna conscious. Now the speed depends on the sincerity of the practitioner. That's all. I'm fine. Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Thakur ki jai, Śrīla Gokriśnātā Sābhaji Mahārāj ki jai, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai, Śrīla Prabhupāda Anuga ki jai, Nitai Go Premanandi. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Oh, yeah. We have three more exalted speakers on the pastime places here. Hare Krishna.